This is Digital Story Podcast number 873, December 13th, 2022. Today's theme is I Am Worn Out by Subscriptions. I'm Derek Story. I think a little something inside of me snapped the other day when I read that Capture One was beginning the process of migrating us over to a subscription-based model. For some reason, I'm not sure why, it was the final straw. And now I'm standing back and looking at everyone who insists on reaching into my pockets every month in exchange for a service. What I discovered is the lead story on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. In our last Nimble Photographer newsletter, I wrote about Capture One moving to a subscription-based service and how I'm not sure that will affect my future with them going forward. And it's not just them. So I'm using Capture One as an example because they're the latest, right? This is the latest thing that happened. But this is actually something that has been going on for a while. We've even touched on it in the podcast. I think it was about this time last year when I suggested that, you know, you take a look at how much your subscriptions are costing you each month and just kind of evaluate, are they all, you know, important? Are you using them all? Well, since that time, you know, things have just become more subscription crazy, even to the point now where new cars want you to subscribe to services that they will unlock for a monthly fee. They're already in the car. You bought the car, probably paid a lot of money for it. But if you want all of its potential, those little add-on things, then you need to pay a monthly subscription fee. And this is just nuts how it's just going everywhere, just everywhere. Before the Capture One thing happened, I was already thinking about this. As I said, you know, Capture One just sort of put me over the edge, right? So I had already created a few weeks ago a simple three-column spreadsheet. And in the first column on the left, it had a checkbox, right? So if you check the box that activated that particular, you know, item that you had, if it's unchecked, it wasn't activated. In the middle column, I had the subscription name or the service. And then in the third column, I had how much that was costing me a month or how much it would cost me a month. So then I could list everything that I was on the hook for and then check the boxes and see what the total is. So every time I checked a box, then that number for that month would be added to the total. And this allowed me to kind of play with all these different things and come up with a bottom line number. So at this point, that spreadsheet has 18 items. Now, many of these are for work, such as Adobe Photography Plan, Mighty Networks, which I use for our online workshops, Vimeo, which I also use for the online workshops. That's where I put our class videos so that people can download them and watch them whenever they want. Squarespace, which is the tool that I use, the platform that I use for the Nimble Photographer website. And then others are personal items, such as Netflix, Apple TV+, New York Times, those sorts of things. So when I began the exercise and checked every box for both personal and business, my total was $610 a month. $610 a month for both personal and business subscriptions. If I unchecked the personal items, my business total is about $313 a month. So that left me with about $297 a month in fees for personal subscriptions. And that's just too much. And it's really funny how $499 here, $699 there doesn't seem like a lot. It's sort of like when you get your credit card bill, right? You get your credit card bill and you look at it and you go, $850? No way I spent $850. So then you go online, go to your site there, your credit card site, and you look at all your transactions, and it was like, $39 there, $19 there. And then at the bottom, it's that 800 number. So you get out the calculator and you add them all up, because no way all of that adds up to 800 and something dollars. And you add them all up, and it's 800 and something dollars, right? It's just, that's the psychology of, small increment purchases or expenditures, and then the bottom line. That's just too many personal items for me. The business ones, I can't do much about, because that's business, and I'm already running a very, efficient business, shall we say here. And, the online stuff is fantastic, and I know I have monthly fees for all the things that I do, but I can reach so many more people doing it, and it's turned out to be such a joyous thing that I'm okay with that. What I'm really looking at right now are my personal expenditures. So I went through on a first pass and just sort of said, okay, I'm going to do a little pruning here. The stuff mainly that's redundant, right? So for instance, if you've got two music subscriptions, you probably don't need both. One will probably do, that kind of stuff, right? So on first pass, I was able to remove $80 a month. And that was pretty good. I felt like that was pretty good. I'm going to do a second pass, but I want to live with my first pass first, if you know what I mean. See how I'm doing. Did I, end the subscription to something that I ended up really wanting, that kind of stuff. So I'll live with the first pass for a while. And then at some point, maybe early next year, around February or so, I'll do a second pass based on my experience after the first pass. You can imagine, I'm going through this exercise, thinking about this already. So you can imagine my joy last week when I heard the Capture One news. I was just going, you got to be kidding me. This is going the wrong direction. Capture One, up until that point, up until last week, basically gave us a few options for how we use their software. Now, we could go perpetual license, which is, every year there's a, a full release. You go from 21 to 22, 22 to 23, that sort of thing. And if you're already a license owner, if you have a perpetual license, then you would pay an upgrade fee if you wanted to go to the next version. So for example, to go for a full version for Capture One Pro with perpetual license, about $199. Okay. If you bought it outright new, it's $299. So there was some advantage to having a perpetual license in the sense that you could save money when you did the upgrade. You didn't have to pay the full price. There's another advantage to a perpetual license compared to a subscription in that you may decide when you look at the new features that you don't need that new release. You don't need it. You go, some of that stuff's nice, I like it, but I don't need it. And that could be especially true if you're not planning on buying a new camera that year. Like for instance, in 2022, I bought the OM System OM1 camera. I don't need a new Micro Four Thirds camera in 2023. That camera, I mean, I love that camera, and that's probably going to be good for a bit. So 2023 could potentially be a year where I didn't need an update to my perpetual license. The features are great in 2023, but I may or may not want them. So I have the option. I have the control whether I spend that $199 or not to update my perpetual license. If you're on a subscription model, then it's just coming out, right? It's just coming out. Either it's coming out every month or you're ponying up and, paying all 12 months at once, the annual fee, and saving some money. But either way, you're on subscription. In other words, no matter what they do, you've bought it. There's no skipping a year unless you stop the subscription and then restart the subscription, which I suppose you could do. If you're doing that, then do you lose access to the software itself when you stop the subscription? What happens? And with a perpetual license, you download the software and you have it, right? So even if you don't upgrade, you still have the software that you purchased. So, I mean, they're very different business models when you really start digging into it. And basically, I like perpetual licenses. I think, you know, it's a good way to go. I think that each time a new version of the software comes out, they sort of have to earn their stripes. In other words, they have to release a version that is enticing enough for me to upgrade. And so I like that. I like that whole concept. And I think with Capture One Pro, if you think about, okay, $199 for 2 years, right? You're thinking about skipping a year if you don't need it. That $199 stretched out over 2 years, that's pretty affordable. That's probably, if you were to break it down, around $8 a month, something like that. So that's not bad. That's a lot less than the $24 a month that you would pay if you were paying for the subscription on a monthly basis. So I'm just saying that there's something about subscription models that over time, they really start to add up in all these different ways. The number of subscriptions, because now it feels like we need a subscription for practically everything we do. And then, you know, what are we actually getting for our subscription dollars? And then on top of that, do businesses having subscriptions in any way make them lazier? I don't know. But, you know, they don't have to resell us on their product every year. You know, we're just kind of subscribing and using the stuff. I understand why businesses want subscriptions. They have our money no matter what. That makes a lot of sense to me from a business point of view. A lot easier to, you know, run the business. You know, your income is much more predictable, all that kind of stuff. You're not having these big lumps of money come in certain times of year and then dry other parts of year. So you can spread it out more like budgeting. Okay, so I get all that. My question is, though, are they still working as hard when they have us on that model, that subscription-based model? I don't know. Sometimes I kind of wonder. Now, I run a business, too. I have my business, and I've resisted subscriptions, and I'm going to try to keep doing that. I don't see any reason why I would change at this point. The photography podcast, which is weekly, that's free. The Nimble Photographer newsletter, which is weekly, that is free also. And then the online and physical workshops have a set price. I put the price on the site, and that's what people pay. So that is cool. Now, if you want to support this community, you can do so by pledging $54 a year through Patreon. And the folks that do that, I love them. I absolutely love them because these people realize that it takes a lot of work to publish a weekly podcast from soup to nuts and a weekly newsletter, and they choose to help me keep that going. But if they don't support me, if they don't pledge, they still can get the podcast and they still can get the weekly newsletter. So people who choose to support me, you know, those people are gold. And those are the people that I truly appreciate in our community because they recognize the work that goes behind all of the publishing that I do. Services who constantly reach for customers' wallets for every little thing better be careful. At some point, customers might decide to go somewhere else. And that number is $0 a month in subscriptions. DxO offers more than 1,700 new optics modules and FOV enhancements for PhotoLab 6.1. And you can read this entire article on fstoppers.com. I have the link in the show notes. DxO is announcing the immediate availability of 1,700 new DxO optics modules, consisting of 3 new cameras and 18 optics, including the highly anticipated Canon RF 15-30mm STM lens. The total number of DxO optics modules now exceeds 78,000 camera and lens combinations. These updates apply to the newest edition of PhotoLab 6.1, which is available now. For example, there's a new Canon RF 15-30mm lens at 16mm. DxO says that generic RAW conversion software will typically crop 10% or more of the image. For photographers who want to avoid losing precious detail from the edge of the frame, DxO's corrections maximize the lens field of view while also delivering superior corrections to sharpness and distortion. The company also claims another unique benefit of working with DxO Optics modules is the fully automatic correction of lack of lens sharpness uniformity across the entire image. DxO corrections across each lens field of view. Unlike competitors, sharpening is applied at different levels specific to the lens characteristics. For instance, sharpening might increase toward the edge of the frame to balance any radial softness. This achieves superior results when compared to applying general sharpening across the entire image, an approach taken in lesser software. All right, well, lesser software, maybe just different software. Just say that, okay? To the point of this podcast, DxO PhotoLab 6.1 Windows and Mac OS is now available for download on the DxO website at the following prices. PhotoLab 6.1 Essential Edition is $139. That's the one I have on my computer. And PhotoLab 6.1 Elite Edition is $219. Those are both perpetual licenses. A free 30-day trial is available. Owners of DxO PhotoLab 6 can update for free from within the software. Also, through December, DxO has a special holiday gift. Photographers save 30% when they buy two or more DxO software titles. So there's an update from a competitor to Lightroom, Capture One, other folks in the photo landscape, DxO. I do have PhotoLab on my computer, and I will tell you this. The optics modules are fantastic. I mean, they really are great. And in terms of getting the most out of your lens, DxO is as good as anyone for sure. The raw processing is also very good. I would say that the management of your photos, the photo management part, I don't like as well as I do Capture One or even Lightroom for that matter. But, you know, it just sort of depends. It just sort of depends on where your priorities are. It is quite good. And for one thing, with DxO, with PhotoLab, you don't have to upload images into a database. You basically just organize them on your hard drive or on your external drives and then point the application to them. But it doesn't database them the way that Capture One and Lightroom does. It's another approach and another pricing module. And I think, you know, this day and age, I think a lot of us are looking at everything that's going on in the industry. DxO is definitely a player. All right, here's a fun one. $71 coat makes wearers invisible to AI security cameras. And this article is on petapixel.com, and the link is in the show notes. Students in China have invented a $71 invisible cloak that hides wearers from artificial intelligence security cameras. Developed by a team of students at Wuhan University, the Invis Defense is a low-cost coat that can be worn day or night to evade detection from security AI camera systems. To the naked eye, it looks like any other ordinary camouflage pattern coat. However, during the day, the coat's customized camouflage prints, which is designed through an algorithm, effectively blind visible light cameras. At night, the coat's embedded thermal devices emit unusual heat signals to confuse infrared cameras. Here's a quote from the folks who developed it. Security cameras using AI technology are everywhere. They pervade our lives. Our privacy is exposed under machine vision. We designed this product to counter malicious detection to protect people's privacy and safety in certain circumstances. As new technologies are developed, there's usually a response. And this is interesting as we get into more and more security cameras and more things like that. I think we're going to begin to see more responses to those technologies as some people view it, invading personal privacy. Now, where is that line? I am not the person to decide where that line is. I just know that in all areas, technology can be abused and is abused. Same thing with Apple. They just announced end-to-end encryption in more areas of their iCloud suite, and law enforcement pushed back on that, said they weren't happy about the additional encryption that Apple is adding. Apple's saying that people's privacy is important to them. These are their customers and they want to protect them. Law enforcement say, you know, okay, so we know how this goes back and forth. But I think this is interesting that basically students, college students, developed this coat that makes wearers invisible to AI security cameras. And if you click on the link in the show notes and go to the article, it will show you examples of how, you know, the coat camouflages, you know, what's inside the coat. And they show, you know, with the coat and without the coat and what the security cameras display. Fascinating stuff. The seesaw tug of war is going to go on and on. And I thought this particular one was very interesting. The 2023 TDS Photography Workshop lineup. So the first three workshops are sold out. We're in the middle of inkjet printing right now, and I'm really looking forward to this week's special guest, Drew Hendricks from Red River Paper. And he's going to be talking about screen calibration, different types of printers, and then, of course, paper itself, inkjet paper itself. And it's fascinating. I've already had a peek at his discussion slides, and they're fantastic. So we're in the middle of the inkjet printing workshop right now. Maximizing your Micro Four Thirds camera online workshop. That's in February. That one sold out this week. The ultimate black and white photography workshop in April has just sold out as well. Our in-person workshops are, the business is pretty brisk on those. I think we're only one seat left open on the Sedona, Arizona in-person photography workshop. We still have a couple seats open for Point Reyes and Wine Country in autumn. And we still have a few seats open for our infrared photography online workshop in July. So if you're thinking about the workshops that are open, I would suggest that you probably sign up sooner than later. You know, I'm going to try to add some more in our lineup for 2023. It's already a fairly busy lineup for me, but if I can squeeze another online in, I will. I'm probably not going to add any more physical workshops in 2023. I think we're just going to go with the three. I like the three that we have a lot. Point Reyes, which is just this beautiful, fantastic, diverse area. We have so much to do there. Sedona, and then the areas surrounding Sedona, and we're going to be there in the fall. So we're going to have color as well, or at least that's the plan. And then Wine Country in autumn, and that's in November. And what happens is fall color hits Wine Country later than it does in Sedona. So I'm really kind of double dipping in 2023. I'm hoping to hit color in Arizona in October, and then I'm hoping to hit color again in November in Sonoma Wine Country. So, and Wine Country is also, this is going to be behind the scenes. It's going to be wine tasting. It's going to be learning about wine. It's going to have so many different things going on. It's going to be fun and relaxing and, dare I say, delicious. So anyway, if you're thinking about these, I just wanted to let you know that the sign-up clip is going along pretty good on all the workshops this year. And If I can, I will get another online workshop in the lineup. I'm working on that now. I just have to find a place to put it. You can find out everything by going to our workshops page on thenimblephotographer.com. You can get to it through the digital story, click on workshops, or just go to thenimblephotographer.com, and everything that's available is there. Bryce, take care of a little virtual camera club news. The Nimble Photographer newsletter is publishing every Thursday. Last week's edition, as I mentioned earlier, was about the Capture One Pro subscription. Every week, we tackle a new topic. Sometimes it's an essay. Sometimes it's a poll to find out what you think. Sometimes it's a new product. Sometimes it's a happening in the photography industry. You have to subscribe to find out what it's going to be. It's free. It just shows up in your inbox every Thursday, and it's a lot of fun. If you'd like to join us, there's a link in the show notes. A huge thanks to our Inner Circle members. I was referring to you all earlier. How much I appreciate it, because you support this community, not because you have to, but because you want to. And that makes all the difference in the world to me. I enjoy this group so much, whether it's on our Patreon site, whether it's on Derek's Story Online in our Inner Circle group, or whether it's in person at physical workshops or online on our online workshops. Our Inner Circle members, to me, just always stand out. They're engaged, they're supportive, and they really help keep this engine running. If you'd like to join us, and I hope you do, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look at the site, see what you think, and hopefully you will join us in 2023. And finally, I'd like to give a nod to our friends at Red River Paper. As I mentioned, Drew Hendricks from Red River Paper is speaking at our workshop on Wednesday. He's donating his time. He's donating a discount coupon for paper for our workshop attendees. And he's just helping us, you know, make sure that we're disseminating as much good information as possible about inkjet printing to help encourage folks to print their artwork, to get it out into the world, onto the wall, and fine art greeting cards, any way that you see fit other than just staring at it on your smartphone screen. I mean, that's fun, that's good, but believe me, when you see it as a 13 by 19 inch print hanging on the wall, that is a whole different thing. And that's what Red River Paper is helping folks in our community create. There's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story for Red River Paper, and go there, click on the tile, nose around. And also they have a Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed my subscription-free podcast. Come back and join me next week. Until then, be creative, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.